Hello, sister. This is Denise with Far Above Podcast. And today is a little different. I am recording with my sweet sister, Ty. We are recording in her sauna. I think it's amazing. And so here
it's
we
are. Warm.
It is warm, but we are, we're just having a good time at fellowship. Tari is my sister in the Lord and in marriage. She's married. She is the sister of my husband. And we have known each other 28 years, and it's been beautiful. And so I just want to introduce Tari to you. She has a beautiful testimony and a story that God has written in her life and is continuing to write. She comes from a generation, a legacy of believers. And she's walked her own story out. And as I was driving up to see her, I felt like the Lord just impressed that he wanted her to share her story and what he's done in her life. And it's beautiful. So welcome, Tyree. Thank you for being on my podcast.
Thank you, Sissy Denise.
Absolutely.
It's a pleasure to be here. I appreciate you asking me to do this with you.
Yes. Well, it's God. So would you share a little bit about your childhood and anything that you feel the Lord wants you to encourage moms that have a prodigal and that you're on the other side, and just what God has done in your life. It's so encouraging.
Absolutely. I think I'm going to start backwards. I think I want to talk a little bit about the fact that I have a child who is walking back into his destiny. Mm-hmm. And he is about to be the prodigal. He's well on his way, and God is placing his feet, one foot in front of the other, in the footsteps that he's arranged for him. It's been a really hard journey. Life is messy.
Mm-hmm.
But man, the beautiful things that God does with our mess is just incredible. And I wanted to share something with you as well before we get deeply into my testimony. Is when we were listening to the praise and worship song, the Trinity, I think is what you said it was. And then you prayed. I was asking the Lord just to be here with us. Mm-hmm. And I saw, it makes me tear up. I saw the Lord said, I'm always with you.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw this almost like a mist of a cloud wrapping itself mm-hmm. around me, and the Lord holding us, mm-hmm. wrapping his presence around us. And that's where he always is.
Mm-hmm.
There's times we push it away. There's times we don't rest in that presence or that peace, but he's always there. He's always available for us mamas, us daughters, to hide under the hem of his garment and to be rescued just for a little while from the cares of this world and from life, you know, mm-hmm. and just needing to be restored and healed. Our daddy is always there.
Mm-hmm.
And the lover of our soul is always present. And that was really beautiful for me to see that. So I appreciate you guiding us into worship and prayer before mm-hmm. we started today. My son is in his 30s, and my journey affected his journey. And I think that's probably been the most profound part of both of our journeys that we've had to come to, is that I am a prodigal. I was raised in a spirit-filled Christian home. My parents were wonderful teachers. I was extremely sheltered, which is good. It's good. We are not to be in league with the world.
Mm-hmm.
But what I would say is being too sheltered is also not good. Because then when you get a view, a glimpse of the world, oh goodness, mm-hmm. that looks like a really interesting candy dish to jump into, you know, and to have all that sugar. And I remember, mm-hmm. you know, we went to Christian schools when we were young. And then there came a time when we had to go to public school. And the first day of public school, I'm just going to use the word entranced and enchanted by what I saw there. The girls were so stylish and fashionable, and they had on beautiful makeup, and they were trendy, and the boys were different than the boys I'd ever been around, and, you know, kids were behaving in a manner that I'd never been exposed to before, and I didn't know what to do with it. So I plunged head first into a rebellion against God that lasted until I was about 23, and is something that I've struggled with off and on in my entire walk with the Lord. Having not been exposed to the world You know, and I'm not saying we should expose our children to evil, but what I would say is when our children are exposed to things of the world, and you and I talked about this last night, those are profound teaching moments. Because the world is hard and it's cruel and it's addictive. And if we don't have truth to combat that with, we're lost. And we have no guidance for our children. So the Word of God is that truth.
Mm-hmm.
And then moving in the Word of God in a realistic way, you know, in a profound and productive way to teach our children the difference between good and evil. Why God says what He says. Why God is not a killjoy, you know. I mean, sin looks so appetizing for a season, right? And then when we're drowning in it, it is death to us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it was to me. When I was 13, I remember beginning to become pretty rebellious against my parents. They were desperate to get a handle on it. Excuse me, and I can just see sort of the downward progression as that rebellion got bigger and bigger. I wanted to see what was out there, and I was pretty headstrong, and I didn't want anybody to tell me no, that I couldn't, that I shouldn't. And what I will say is my parents were amazing teachers. You know, they guided us in such a beautiful way, And to be honest, if they were not praying for me, and if I did not have that foundational teaching from my parents, I would have been swept away in a storm that I could not have escaped from. You know, I did run away from home when I was a teenager. I broke my parents' heart. And I had no concept of what I was doing to my family. All I wanted was to have fun and to be free. That's all I wanted.
Mm.
And after being gone from home, you know, I ran away when I was 16 years old. I was gone for about 8 months. Just devastated my family. I got really tired because nobody would say no to me. And I could not say no to myself. And so I remember calling my dad and asking him if I could come home. And he said, "Why do you want to come home?" And I said, "Because I'm tired, Dad. I'm tired." So I went back home, and the Lord began to rebuild and reestablish a relationship with my parents, but I certainly was not in the place where I was going to give it up for the Lord, you know. So I walked in that rebellion for quite a while, back and forth, back and forth. Became a single mom when I was 19, had a beautiful, precious little boy. My parents helped me raise him, married when I was 23, and there were still parts of me that I had not laid down completely. The thing that I was looking for, you know, there's a secular U2 song. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And in that song, he even talks about Jesus dying on the cross for us, but he still hasn't found what he's looking for.
Wow.
So that's kind of where my flesh and sin nature took me. And because I had not really dealt with all of it, and taken it all before the Lord. And then I was involved in prison ministries and, with my ex-husband and I, we were home group leaders and, you know, we did all the things and it was a beautiful time for me, but I still had not given it all to the Lord. Mm-hmm. I still had not joined and married myself to the gospel. I knew enough to get by. I knew enough to have profound moments in the Lord and I knew I was His, but the depth, I didn't have the depth that I needed to combat my rebellion and that flesh that kept rising up. So I became rebellious again. I became very dissatisfied with my life, and I left my husband. I devastated my son when he was 10 years old to start my own life, to once again pursue my own freedom. I walked in the desert for about 12 years. There was no peace to be found. There was no thing. There was not that thing. Still haven't found what I'm looking for. I had what I was looking for. The thing that I was pursuing, though, that had its hooks in me, was such a lie. And kind of the thought that comes into my mind is the Disney lie. You and I have talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
The princess being rescued, falling in love and being saved forever, you know, by this man who made all of her dreams come true. I was looking for this deep and profound love that I already had, that I was already capable of giving to my son, and yet I still was looking. Hit a lot of walls, bounced around like a ping pong ball, you know, that had been thrown against a wall in a room, just to ricochet off the walls over and over again. And then, still walking in rebellion, I met my current husband, Micah, and God knew. God knew. When we got married, I was terrified because I knew that I was walking into an unequally yoked situation. My son was in real trouble. You know, being a single mom for so long, there was a period when he just pretty much started doing what he wanted to do. And hey, I was doing what I wanted to do. So he was kind of left to himself, you know, for a period of years. And there's a lot more to that story, but I want to honor his journey as well. And someday I feel sure that you and he can sit down and talk mm-hmm. about his journey before mm-hmm. the Lord.
Yes.
But, you know, when he was 19, he really hit a wall and I was getting married. And so that further brought more complications. And I remember when Micah and I married and said, I do, we were holding hands and I was shaking like a leaf.
Hmm.
I was terrified because I knew I was marrying an unbeliever. And what the rubber just met the road.
Mm-hmm.
What is this going to mean for me, for my son, for my marriage? Because we were not on the same page morally. We didn't have the same ideas about lifestyle. We just knew we had a lot of fun together. You know, and we loved each other. We really did. Mm. It started off with a bang, not in a good way. Lots of fighting because I wanted a whole oneness. Mm. I had Jesus and my spirit knew that I needed that oneness in a marriage and knew that I needed a partner that I could serve the Lord with. And clearly I chose differently. So I started to pray and rage and rail at the Lord. I was very angry with myself. I was angry at the decisions that I'd made in my life because I had these years, these bouts of walking very closely with the Lord. And then I just would get, you know, pulled into another direction. One thing would lead to another. And there I was fully immersed in the world again, you know. And when Micah and I married, I didn't want that anymore. It made me sick.
Mm.
I had come to the end of it. And I wanted my marriage to work, but I knew without Jesus, we didn't have a chance. We didn't have a hope. So I started to pray and rant and rave and try to talk my husband to the Lord. And finally, the Lord told me to shut up, just shut up and get out of the way. Let me have him. Mm. And so I did. Through a series of events on an Easter Sunday, a year after we were married, Micah, Jesus breathed life into my husband.
Mm,
and then our journey as Christians began and the hard work started, which meant going before the Lord, turning all of this lifestyle and wrong thinking around back to a truth that is biblically sound and what I know to be true.
Mm.
And so we started walking in that direction. We have now been married, excuse me, for almost 13 years. We've been together for 15. And the path that God has brought us on has been profound. And I want to tell you, moms, that God will never abandon you. And he will not abandon your children. And though we may have screwed up in some of our life choices and decisions, Jesus can make it right. Because he does it every day, all day long. Even when we don't see it. Even when we don't feel it. And so, you know, a lifelong journey. I'm now 52 years old, fully serving the Lord with everything in me. And I'm so fiercely passionate about his truth and his word. But God also, through this marriage, brought so many beautiful things into my life. And I began to realize I couldn't think for myself. I was not a free thinker. I had no clue what freedom in Christ meant. I was full of legalism, black and white, black and white, black and white. But I couldn't break free from my own narrow thinking. It just, you know, if I could keep things confined in a little box and control it in such a way that I could be in control of it, then I was safe, right? That's not real life. We can't control things that are out of our control. We really can't control anything except our own reactions and the time we spend with the Lord and our loved ones and so forth. And so, you know, I love where God has brought me. It has been, and I do want to tell you that if you are stalling on jumping in with the Lord, stop stalling. Jump in because you're only delaying your own growth. I delayed my growth by 20 or 30 years because I refused to dive into that holy water and let him remake me into his image. I had remade myself into my own image, and it was becoming unbearably painful for me because when my son hit a wall at 19 years old, And then he kept hitting wall after wall after wall. Much of that was my fault. I could have, should have, would have been a better leader for him. I should have been a better leader for him. Instead of being so focused on myself and making, you know, something out of myself and my career and everything else, my son needed me. I have amazing parents who picked up the pieces for me, but that was not their job. Praise God they were there.
Yes.
But that was not their job. And so now I'm 52, and the decisions that I made up until I was 40 years old, the bouncing back and forth between, you know, walking for the Lord and living for the Lord and then living for myself and my flesh and the world and everything else, laid a lot of foundational tracks in my son's life and caused the train to derail over and over because he didn't have the stability that he needed. Things looked okay kind of on the outside, but he didn't have that stability in me. And so now what he's facing in his life, and he has children and I have grandchildren, is partly, you know, he makes his own decisions and we have to come to terms with that. Not everything is our fault. Not everything is our parents' fault.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you must look at your life and say, I did this and I have to take responsibility for that. But I also will say that we reap what we sow, and I've reaped everything I've sown. I've watched it played out in front of me. I've been on both sides of the coin in every possible way that there is. And so I see the truth of it. There is no life outside of Christ. We are called to better and higher than the world can offer. And when we don't, we are delaying other people's destinies in the Lord too.
Hmm.
And that is very serious. And especially when we're walking before children, that's very serious. And so all of the decisions that I've made have played out in my son's life as well. And so I'm watching with a grieving heart as he's now picking up the pieces of his worldview and trying to align it with the Lord as well. And so, you know, our sin carries ripple effects that go on and on and on. Now, I'm here to tell you, there is a positive message in that. When you get rid of the shame and the condemnation, you can speak about it freely. And praise God, I can speak about it freely. Mm-hmm. I am no longer that girl.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus loves me and he loves my son. I'm an amazing mom. Mm-hmm. I'm an amazing grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
I can freely tell my son, I love you. Please forgive me. As things come up, the things that come up that I remember where I've wronged him or misled him in his worldview, those are things that I go to him and ask for forgiveness for as they come up. And you know, I know that everybody has their own journey and we can be free of that whip that Satan cracks at our back. Mm-hmm. You did this and it's your fault. They're walking this way because of you and it's your fault. That is not a useful emotion. Shame and condemnation are not useful and they are not productive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's best for us to get before the Lord, let him surgically remove the things mm-hmm. that need to be removed spiritually. And then walk, and it's hard to be disciplined, to walk in right-mindedness, taking your thoughts captive so that you're not, you know, wallowing in what's happening around you. It's not productive. It's not a service to other people. All it does is hurt us physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And making sure that we walk forward being obedient. Obedience is more important than sacrifice. That last Hail Mary, you know, at the fourth quarter, last down, no, it should have been obedience the whole time.
Mm.
Sometimes that's it's not, good. Though. Praise God for his grace and mercy that we can fall back on when it's not, when we need that. We can always fall back on our Father. He's always there. He never leaves us, though we leave him. You know, we turn our face from him. I'm so appreciative of having a husband who is a great thinker. He taught me how to really think for myself and how to begin to think logically instead of being a creature of emotion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we are addicted to our feelings, it's easy to be blown with the wind of feeling. I feel this way, I feel that way, I'm going to do this because of my feelings. The truth is, if Jesus rested on his feelings, he never would have walked to that cross.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to do it, but because he was obedient, he did it.
Mm-hmm.
God is faithful to restore. God is faithful to restore. And we are free in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of that legalistic religious thinking. God did not come to shove us in a box and tell us how filthy we are all the time. He tells us he loves us,
mm-hmm.
that he's made a new creation in us, that we are created in his image, that we are lovely, that we can think on pure things, that he'll bless us if we ask, that he's there when we need him, that he saved us, redeemed us mm-hmm. back to a right relationship with him that we get to have forever. So that's pretty exciting that we know the King of the universe.
Yes.
That his eyes are set on us and that we get to walk in that no matter what's happening around us. I do want to tell all the mamas out there listening, brace yourself for the storm that's coming. I don't know what spirit has been poured out on our children, but it is affecting our children. My husband and I have a wellness consultation business. We do integrative functional wellness. We see clients who have cancer. We see clients who just want to know what supplements to take. We do direct-to-consumer labs so we can look at people's hormones and, you know, really, really kind of pop the hood and see what's going on in their engine. Or we can take the engine apart and go a little bit deeper and see where the hiccups are in the makeup of the engine. Having said that, walking through this business and seeing so many people who are so sick and some walk to the door of eternity with us, you have to have a really tight-knit foundation with the Lord and his word mm-hmm. in order to be able to guide people with integrity. But also you get to see and know people whose lives are so different from yours.
Mm-hmm.
And for those that will not dive into their spiritual wellness and their emotional wellness, they don't do very well. Very few heal or move past the place that they're in. For those that will, we've seen miraculous healings take place. We've seen cancer regress. We've seen people walk to the door of eternity, praising God. Hallelujah, they're there, they're home. But we've seen lives change in the process as you can try to guide them. Everyone's free. We, you know, our premise is everyone is sovereign, everyone is free. There's freedom in Christ. You are free to choose. But will you choose the right thing? Will you choose the good thing that God has placed in front of you? And that's the hard choice. The world is easy. That's easy. The things of God are hard,
mm-hmm.
but they're so simple, right?
Yeah.
The things of God are his nature, worship, the wind blowing, the sun shining on her face, getting your hands in the dirt,
mm-hmm.
walking on the ground barefoot, laughing with your children, having, you know, deep belly laughs with your partner, those are the things of Christ. Why it's so hard for us to get to those things and why we run to the things of the world that demolish, devastate, ruin,
mm-hmm.
you know, tear down the structure of that. I don't know. It's sin nature. It's sin nature gets in the way of us enjoying life with Christ. But I do know that since I've gone to counseling and really started to dive into my own spiritual well-being and emotional wellness, I have been set free from so many stigmas that I've placed on myself, judgment I've placed on myself, shame mm-hmm. I've placed on myself, works-oriented services that I've placed on myself. If I do enough, God will love me. If I repent enough, he'll love me. If he'll take me back.
Mm-hmm.
I was never lost
mm-hmm.
in that way. I was always his, right? But me acknowledging and turning away from the world and back to Jesus and allowing that to be a part of my everyday journey. I'm not sure where that happened, but I know that one day I looked up and I knew I was serving holy. I knew I was serving holy. And I know that there is no other way except that way in Christ. And Jesus will give us the strength to face the things that we've done, to face the things that were done to us, to face the things that we've reaped because of our sowing. He gives us the strength and the courage to do it. And through that, ministry is born. Because you can take that healing to the person that was affected by it. You can help restore them to a right place.
Mm-hmm.
But then you've got something to say to those people out there who are in the same place. Without judgment. With unconditional love. And getting up underneath them when they feel they can't stand anymore. So that's really kind of what my journey has looked like, you know, not to get into the details or the weeds, but it's been a lot of back and forth, and I've pretty much tried everything the world had to offer, And I'm telling you, there is nothing as sweet as Jesus.
Amen.
There is nothing as sweet as the comfort from the Holy Spirit. There is nothing sweeter than God the Father on his throne allowing us to come and hide under the hem of his garment to be safe from the onslaught of the enemy. There's nothing sweeter. There's no better life. And his promises are yes and amen. And just because they're not happening right now, when we say, hurry up, God, we need this, we need you to pull through this for us, he's got it.
Mm-hmm.
He's got it. He's got it. And if I did not have praying parents, guys, you may be so angry at your children for the things that they're doing to the family, to themselves, to others, but your prayers are saving your children.
Amen.
Your prayers are saving your children. It saves their lives. It keeps them from circumstances that would hurt them. And it keeps the Lord an ever-present figure in their life, whether they like it or not. So it's important that we never, ever stop praying for our children, no matter what we feel. Feelings are natural. Feelings are normal. But we've got to bring them into obedience.
Yes.
Because if we allow our feelings to rule us, it is not productive, and it keeps us from good service. Right? And so, Jesus is going to save your kids. He already has.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and for those moms out there who are still toiling and feel like that whip is at their back, I'm here to tell you, sister, you turn around and you face the enemy and you command him to leave in the name of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And then you face the Lord again and you keep walking, because God is on the move. He's on the move and he is saving our babies one day at a time. And he will continue to do so. And at some point, they're going to be in the same journey that you and I are, Denise, sitting here talking about their journey, knowing that they had parents who prayed for them, knowing that they have to take responsibility for their own messiness, and knowing that they can walk forward because they've seen us do it. And they saw the Lord give us strength to make what was wrong right.
Yes.
And so I just would encourage you to not allow Satan to make you toil as a mom. To pray and let it go. To bind your thoughts to the Lord. To get really aggressive in that area. Bind your thoughts to the Lord. Stay in a constant state of praise and worship. That is where your strength comes from. And make sure you get outside. Let the sun hit your face. Get your feet in the dirt. Look at green. You know, green is a healing color. God knew that when he created all of nature to be green. It's a healing color. It promotes healing. It actually causes the inflammation in your body to go down. And when we're stressed out, when we ruminate on, or when we have catastrophic thinking, what if, what if, what if? And you and I were talking about this yesterday. Statistically speaking, the what ifs, 98% of what ifs that we think about never, ever happen. How much time are we wasting?
We're waste.
On things that are not productive and are not of service to others. So I would just encourage you mamas to press in, get real close to your daddy. He's right there and he's going to take care of your kids and you can do this. And the kids are going to, they're going to receive and reap that reward of the prodigal, and you'll be able to celebrate when they walk through that front door back to Jesus as one family. Don't ever give up on your kids, no matter what they do. Jesus never gives up on us, ever. He's not mean. He's not hateful. He doesn't seek to torture us until we've been punished enough. I mean, you know, the outcome of our actions are plenty of that. We get enough of that.
Yeah.
Right? And Jesus relieves us of that so that we can once again be right, be productive, and be of service to the kingdom and to our fellow man. So I just want to say you can do this to all those mamas that are struggling. Jesus will renew a right mind in your child. He's doing it in mine right now. And he is going to fully restore my family. And I know this. And I'm going to rest in that. And I'm going to walk forward in that. And I just want to encourage all the moms to do the same thing. God is on the move. He's going to rescue your sons and daughters from the enemy. It's not a maybe. It is not a maybe. It is a yes. It is an amen, which is, you know, solid deal. The deal is the deal, and that's the deal. That he will rescue our children, and that they will come back to the way that they were taught. So, there you have it.
So beautiful. And it's just, you know, as you're sharing, I just think, I've known you a long time. 28 years, and your life is a testimony, and it's beautiful. And I agree with you that I look forward to the day that our children are sharing their testimony. And I believe that through the generations, I've been studying Genesis, and, you know, Abraham's sin was also passed down to his son Isaac. Mm-hmm. Isaac struggled with the similar sins mm-hmm. that his dad did. In fact, he did the same thing. But what I loved was that the promises God had made to Abraham, God blessed Isaac with the same promises to fulfill that he had made to his father.
Yes, amen.
And I think, you know, even if our children don't know the Lord, have never known the Lord, maybe they acted like they knew the Lord, but didn't really know the Lord, or maybe they hadn't surrendered at all like you did and like me. You know, I accepted Christ to be my forever friend, but I did not make him Lord of my life. And so when I allowed him to be, I surrendered and I made him Lord of my life, then that's when things changed for me. Mm-hmm. I'm still growing and changing just like you are, but the power in surrendering, just like Jesus did when his father asked him to go to the cross for us, mm-hmm. that's where the victory and power comes from.
Yeah.
So we can claim those promises that God has made to us because we are daughters of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we can pass that. That can be the blessing to our children as well.
Yes.
And so I just so appreciate you sharing your story and being a light and a testimony. And I believe we have the ministry of reconciliation.
Amen.
And through our prayers and through us living out this life in godliness, through the power of the Holy Spirit, it affects our children in a way that is profound. We don't understand. And I claim that for them.
Amen. In the name of Jesus. I hope you don't mind. I kind of want to plug something that we do in our business.
No.
For parents who are curious about if their kids are struggling with sexuality or identity, sometimes it's just a matter of hormones being imbalanced. Sometimes it's a matter of diet. Sometimes it's a matter of metabolic dysregulation. And so I just want to say that we are a Christian business. We do see minors as long as their parents are a part of it. We do direct-to-consumer labs. And so if anybody ever wanted to just kind of see where their kids were at hormonally, to see what their lab values were, and to get an honest view mm-hmm. of what needs to be done naturally instead of throwing pharmaceuticals at them,
right.
if they're depressed, it could be an imbalance. Maybe they have low vitamin D.
Right.
Maybe they need to be outside more. So sometimes it is a simple fix. And when the fix doesn't happen, then the snowball keeps rolling down the hill and the problems increase. So, you know, it's always a good idea to not just seek spiritual help for these things, but really pop the hood of that engine and find out what's going on. Mm-hmm. There could be also a side benefit fix on top of the spiritual fix as well. And we see that happen all the time. We see it happen all the time that people, you know, once they get into a state of good, optimal health and they do it naturally, it changes their lives, the way they see things, mm-hmm. the way they think. If you're curious about that for yourself or your family, please feel free to contact us. Our website is worldviewwellness.com.
And I'll put it in the show notes too.
Oh, thank you so much. And our email is contact@worldviewwellness.com. It's WORLDVIEW wellness. It's kind of a tongue twister, but that's what we base the premise of our business on. What is your worldview? Is it biblical?
Mm.
Is it the world's view? How are you conducting your health? Are you maintaining your sovereignty through this world in the way that we are being pushed and pulled through, the medical community and right. so forth and so on. So,
mm-hmm.
I would say please reach out to us if you're curious about those things. Our number is also 806-239-2559. And we would love to talk to you about optimal health for your kids, for the teenagers, for young adults, for yourself,
mm-hmm.
to just make sure that we're not just approaching spiritual wellness, but physical wellness as well. And once those two things are aligned, it seems that the emotional mm-hmm. wellness follows, because there's freedom when you feel good, when mm-hmm. everything is as it should be. So thanks for letting me throw that plug in there.
Absolutely. Well, we're mind, body, and spirit.
That's right. That's right.
So it's a holistic way of looking at things. Yeah. And it's beautiful when it's aligned with the Word of God.
That's right.
And biblical. God has given us the gift to bring healing in all types of, you know, modalities. And I think especially, you know, when you feel terrible, it affects everything.
Yeah.
And I do agree. I think some of the transgender stuff is probably affected to hormones and...
Absolutely. I mean, look at all the processed foods that we're eating, and it's throwing confusion into their hormones. You know, we can do testing where you can find out if a hormone is being shunted down a wrong pathway and turned into another hormone that it shouldn't be.
Wow. That's amazing.
We see women with no testosterone, and we see women with way too much testosterone and no estrogen. And so we can help balance those things. But yeah, we can pretty much... and then we guide, you know, in a spiritual manner. We like to pray with our clients. We like to make sure everything's okay. We like to suggest counselors for our clients if that's something they need to approach. But God's got it all for us, mind, mm-hmm. body, and soul.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I so appreciate you sharing with me today. And I just love watching your story and watching our family. You know, we're all part of a family, and so it's beautiful. Would you mind... praying for the moms. Would you mind closing us out and praying a blessing?
Not at all, but I have to open the sauna door because I'm about to melt. I feel like a little snowman that is on its last leg.
All right, everybody. This is my first time in a sauna, and I feel I'm going through menopause right now, and I feel like I'm having the hot flash of all hot flashes, but it feels good, you know?
It does. It does. And anytime I'm in the sauna... I am worn out for about an hour, and then after that hour, I feel amazing. Aww. I feel so recharged, and I feel amazing. Thank you for doing this with me. I don't know that I would have done it unless you were here.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would absolutely love to pray, and I just want to share my favorite scripture, Jeremiah 17:14. Lord, heal me, and I will be healed. Lord, save me, and I will be saved, for you are my praise. That scripture screamed at me when I was 21 years old and in desperate need of Jesus. I pray that scripture over all of you mamas and over all of your prodigals.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, that you would heal them so that they can be healed,
yes,
so that
Lord.
You would save them and they can be saved, that you would be the one they praise.
Mm-hmm.
Father God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place,
yes,
into this space, and into this prayer. Lord, we thank you that you are on your throne today. That will never change. Lord, we thank you that you are not a man, that you could lie, that everything that you say is yes and amen. Lord, we thank you that you show up when we can do nothing else. Lord, we thank you that you open doors that no man can open and close doors that
thank
no
you,
man can close. Father, I lift up every mother who's listening, every father who might be listening, anyone in need who is listening, I speak peace over them in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes.
Father, I bind their minds to your mind.
Mm-hmm.
I bind their will to your will so that they would hear you, Holy Spirit. And I bind their peace to your peace. Father, I pray that you would put the footsteps in front of them and that they would see them clearly and follow them in obedience, not try to run to the last footstep in sacrifice at the last minute, but that you would give us all the perseverance to walk in obedience. And that you would give us the strength to face the things that we need to face.
Yes, Lord.
And to move through it and to let you heal us instead of being afraid. Lord, I pray that you would open us up to fearlessness in your word.
Yes, Father.
Fearlessness of your scripture. Father, I pray that you would help us cover our children.
Mm-hmm.
And then to leave them in your hands because we can do nothing else. Father, I pray that you would guard our children's health.
Yes, Lord.
And that you would guard our health as well, Lord, so that we could continue to be there for our children. But Lord, I pray for every mom who has a prodigal, that you would stop the prodigal in their tracks,
yes, Lord,
if they are
Jesus.
Not walking towards you yet. And Father, that every opportunity that the world would offer them would be denied by you in the name of Jesus, that they could no longer continue to move towards the deep end of that pool. Lord, but that you would walk them back to the stairs and out of that water, you know, that filthy trough of sin.
Yes.
And that you would walk them out of it, Lord.
Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name.
That you would clean them up, restore them, heal them, renew them, energize them. Make right what's been wrong, Lord. I pray that you would reestablish relationships between parents and children.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus. Father, that the love for their parents would not grow cold in their hearts. Lord, I pray for salvation right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord, Jesus' name.
Father, thank you for who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Your word says that we are engraved on the palms of your hands, mm-hmm. and our walls are ever before you. Father, every single person that's hearing this has a wall before them, and I pray you'd knock it down.
Mm-hmm.
In the name of Jesus. Thank you for giving us freedom.
Yes.
Thank you that you're not rigid and cold and a punisher, Lord, but that you love and that your judgment is righteous.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for giving us courage and strength.
Yes, God.
Thank you for family. Thank you for teaching us the way.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you, Jesus, that you were willing to die on that cross so that we could be restored back to a right relationship with you, just so you could have us for forever.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Father.
Thank you for that. Father, I lift up every single person who needs to be lifted up.
Yes, Lord.
That you'd hold them up when they feel they can stand no longer.
Mm-hmm.
Holy Spirit, that you would breathe life,
yes,
into every single person listening, and that your will would be done.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, sister.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Until next time, remember that we are to live far above our circumstances in the power and victory of Jesus Christ. Please share this with a friend, someone who needs encouragement. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. I'm really trying to have more testimonies to encourage our hearts because of Revelation 12:11. And they defeated him, the enemy, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony.
Amen.
God bless you, sister. I love you. Until next time. Bye-bye.